to the book of Acts, chapter number 27. And I'll be starting reading there a few verses, and then I will turn over and preach from Hebrews chapter number 11, a verse there. Acts chapter 27, and we'll begin reading with verse number 20. And while you're turning there, I want to say again what a privilege and honor it is for us to be here. I appreciate your pastor inviting us to come and just to have enjoyed their hospitality and fellowship so much so far this week. And I really, really appreciate. I have never gotten over the fact that a pastor will call and say, I would like for you to stand in my pulpit and preach to my people. That's never gotten routine to me, because every time I stand here is important for you. Every time I stand in this pulpit, in this man's place, I need to have a word from the Lord for somebody in this place. Every time a pastor calls me and asks me to come, I take it very, very seriously, and I am so appreciative. There was a day when nobody called, Brother Jarvis, and I'm thankful that God has opened up a place for us to work in the ministry, in our movement, among our people, because these are my people. Amen. The Pentecostal people are my people. And I'm on their hands whether they want me or not, praise God. And so I'm glad that you want me. Acts chapter 27, at least till now, you want me. Acts chapter 27, verse number 20. And when neither the sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, and all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you, be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Cheer up, Paul says, the ship's going down. That's the literal translation of that verse. Cheer up, you're not going to die, but the ship is going down. But there stood by me this night, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, he says again, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. I want to preach to you tonight for a few minutes about this faith on a deck of a sinking ship. Faith on the deck of a sinking ship. Would you stretch your hands toward heaven and ask the Lord to touch us here in this place tonight? Father, I pray right now that you would captivate our hearts and minds here for a few moments. Drive out every hindering spirit, O God. Lord, rebuke the devourer that would steal your word from our hearts, Lord. Let faith rise up in the heart of every hearer to believe your word, to receive your word, and to respond to your word. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody can say, Amen, Amen. Faith on the deck of a sinking ship. The ship is going down, but I believe God. It's going to get worse before it gets better, Paul says. But I believe God. 14 days and nights, you've been tossed and driven by the wind and the wave. You've been at the mercy of the sea. You've been rowing, you have been bailing, you have been casting the weight overboard. You have been doing everything in your power for 14 days and nights without any sun, moon, or stars. They have been in the midst of this storm in pitch blackness. Now, I'm just going to speak for me. I can't think of anything more terrifying to me than being in a storm on the water in the middle of the night and the night lasting 14 days. Now, there's probably a whole list of ways I really don't want to die. I could probably give you a whole list of them. I'm not afraid of being dead. I'm not afraid of being dead at all because I'm going to heaven when I'm dead. It's that dying part that scares me. And there's probably a whole list of ways that I do not want to die. But right somewhere at the top of that list is being in the ocean in a raging storm and can't see anything. And the storm will not let up and live in mortal fear that that ship is going down. Y'all with me here? I can't even imagine the terror in these men's heart, in the hearts of the sailors, in the hearts of the prisoners, and in the hearts of the soldiers. All of them had just given up hope. Paul said in the first verse I read to you, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Nobody has any hope anymore that we are going to live through this thing. And the man of God gets up right at that point. I mean, not a few days earlier when they're still bailing, and not a day earlier when they still have some strength, but right at the moment when they have thrown up their hands in exasperation and said, we're going to die out here. We're not going to live. We're not going to make it. At that very moment, Brother Jarvis, Paul stands up and says, be of good cheer. Cheer up. Sounds a little sarcastic to me, but he's not. And then the sarcasm really kicks in. Be of good cheer. You're not going to die, but the ship is going down. In all of these 14 days and nights of being tossed and driven, the only thing that's kept them from the deep is the ship. It may not be the best of ships anymore. It may be battered and it may be torn. The sails may be gone and the mast may be broken, but at least it has kept us on this side of the water. At least we haven't had to try to endure this storm for not even 1 hour, much less 14 days. At the mercy of the storm in the waves, at least we've had this old tattered and torn ship. At least we've had this thing to keep us afloat. Yes, it's been a battle to keep it afloat. And yes, it's been a fight to keep this thing above water. But at least we are not in the water. We are still on the water. And you're telling us that the only thing that we've been able to have confidence in is now being taken away? Yes, sir. The ship is going down, but be of good cheer. What in the world would you think if I stood here under the authority of God and said, the diagnosis is terrible, but just hang on, it's getting worse. Probably stone me. Throw egg at me or something. Hope you don't have any in your purse. Just handy for that. Tomatoes. Something like that. Throw a cheeseburger. I'd rather throw a cheeseburger. I kind of like to have one of those right now. I could probably catch a few of those. But man, yeah, it's what you're going through is bad, but God just told me it ain't nothing compared to what you're going through. I mean, how would you like that? If that's the word that I had for you tonight, what you're going through is fixing to get worse. But cheer up. That's what Paul was saying to him. The ship is going down, but be of good cheer. But here is the key. I believe God. I believe God. It shall be even as it was told unto me. If you've got the promise of God, you've got everything you need to survive. I said, if you've got the promise of God, then you have everything you need to survive. The storm may rage. The winds may roar. The sea may be coming over your bow, may be taking you under. But if you've got the promise of God, then you've got everything you need. You say, do I have the promise of God? Have I received a word of prophecy? Listen, I believe in prophecy. I believe God's speaking to us today. But let me tell you what you got, my friend. You got 66 books full of promises. One of those promises is, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Praise God. Are y'all with me here? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. How about Jesus saying, lo, I am with thee always, even to the end of the world. How about I'll be your shield? I'll be your buckler. I'll be your strength. I'll be your very present help in the time of trouble. How about that God's peace will pass all understanding? We have the promise of God. And in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of a world that's going to hell as fast as it can, in the midst of a nation whose morality is being turned on its head, I stand in March, the end of March 2015, and say to you, I believe God anyway. Amen. I believe God. I want to tell you this. This pastor alluded to it this evening. It's not my message to preach it. I don't think we have to spend a lot of time on it, but this whole mess of what marriage is being redefined and families being destroyed, and in 6 short years, we are the bad guys. You realize that our president, when he was running for president, said very firmly and repeatedly, I am against homosexual marriage. I believe marriage is between one woman and one. You realize he said that? I've got the quotes. I'm against it. We don't need it. And now, for us to stand up in public and say the same thing, it's hate speech. Same thing that our president said as a candidate just a few short years ago. Y'all with me here? The world is being turned, and that's not the only thing. That's just a symptom of what's going on. It's really just a symptom of a deep underlying problem that we have in our nation that is being pulled from its moorings, and we are quickly fading away from the Christian standard that we have celebrated in this world. But in the midst of a sinking ship, I tell you, my friends, I've got confidence God's still going to be God, even in the midst of a world that hates him, in the midst of a nation that may turn their back on him. Our God is still God. I believe God. On the deck of this sinking ship, Paul stands up with such confidence and says, it's going to be just like God told me. I mean, nothing's changed. Nothing looks good. The ship's going down, but nobody's going to die. I mean, that's what Paul told him. Everybody's going to live. In fact, he said, you're not even going to lose a hair off your head. I mean, we're all going in the waves, either on boards or swimming, tossed and driven, probably rolled into the beach on that wave, the rocks. Nobody's even going to lose a hair from your head. How can you say that, Paul? Because I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. How do you have that kind of faith on a sinking ship? Because we need that kind of faith in our day. Because somehow we can muster the faith to believe that what I've just said is true. That even in the midst of a nation that is just in turmoil in morality and religiously, that somehow God is going to bring the church through and we're going to make it, right? But where the rub really comes in is, how in the world are you going to make it in your current situation? with everything going on around you in your family, in your life? What are you going to do? How are you going to make it? How do you stand on the deck of your sinking ship and proclaim with confidence, everything's going to be okay because I believe God? How do you get to that point? How do you get there? And I think you can find the answer in several places in Paul's writing. One place I want to zero in on here is Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 5. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. The first step to having faith on the deck of a sinking ship is to settle in your heart that faith is not optional. Y'all with me here? We have made a lot of things optional the last generation in our church, haven't we? Oh yeah, we didn't used to have any question about a lot of things. And now we're questioning very core doctrines in our churches. It's very common to question very core doctrines in our church. But one thing we cannot throw away is this fact, my friend. Faith is not optional. Without faith, we cannot please God. Now, I want to be pleasing to people around me. I mean, I'd be crazy nuts to come in here and have an attitude that I don't care whether Brother Jarvis likes what I say or not. I don't care if he likes my preaching. I don't care if he likes my singing. I mean, you know, that's a great way to not get invited back. Or maybe even get invited not to come back. That's even worse. You know, I want Brother Jarvis to be pleased. Yes. And even more than that, I learned this many, many years ago starting out evangelizing. You know, if you want an invitation back, you really need the pastor's wife to be pleased. You know, the pastor may love you to pieces, but if she shakes her head, forget it, man. We might get one more try, but you're not getting called back very often, you know. So I want her to be pleased. I want the church to be pleased. I want visitors to be pleased. And I don't mean that I want my preacher to make you comfortable all the time. Or, you know, I don't want it to be like something, you know, that just will never offend, because the Bible offends. But I don't want to be offensive. Right? I want people to be pleased. I want to keep all the friends that I've got. I don't have any that are dispensable. In fact, I tell, there's a lot of friends that I don't keep in daily contact with, or even weekly or monthly contact with. There's some friends that I know they are my friend when I see them once a year, once every 2 years. I have no doubt we're still friends because they didn't call me and tell me otherwise. And I didn't call them and tell them otherwise. And we just have an understanding. We're going to be friends. Right? And I want to keep friends. I want my wife to be pleased. In fact, I would not stand in this pulpit. I wouldn't stand in any pulpit and preach for very long at all if my wife and my daughter could not have confidence in me. Y'all with me here? Now, there's a few times that Odie might shake her head, but, you know, she gets straightened out after a while. I want my family to be pleased. I want my wife to be happy. My wife used to have a motto that 40 minutes was plenty long enough for a good message and way too long for a bad message. And she's tried to shorten that to 30 minutes, but I'm refusing to go down there. I might go 30 minutes lots of times, but I'm refusing to conform to that standard. I'm going to reserve the right to go 40 minutes if I want to, praise God. But I want her to be happy. I want her to be happy with everything in our lives. But the most important thing to me or anybody else is that God puts His seal of approval on our lives. Are y'all here with me? And I'm not talking about we earn that by the standard we live. We earn that by the morality that we keep. I'm not talking about that at all. You can't earn God's approval by what you do or what you say. We do and say the things we do and say because we love Him. And He saved us. It's an act of gratitude. It's not earning favor with God. But there is one prescription right here in the Bible that I can see that gains the pleasure of God, and that is to realize we must believe in Him. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. I can live to the highest standard. I can keep the strictest morals, but if I do not have faith, I will not be pleasing in the sight of God. So if I'm ever going to stand on the deck of my sinking ship and say with any kind of confidence, God, I believe You, I must at some time in my life settle this in my heart. Faith is mandatory. Faith is not optional in my life. I want you to have faith. I want you to have faith. I want you to have faith. But I must have faith. You see that tonight? Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And then the second part of that verse, he that cometh to God must believe that He is. He that cometh to God must believe that He is. God is, and that settles it. I said, yeah, but what about all this and what about that? What about what this guy says and what about what this preacher says and what about the theology of this and what about all the big words? And I know all of those things are important. I'm not knocking doctrine. I'm certainly not knocking people who can explain it much better than I can in some bigger terms than I will ever understand. We need all of that. But we must come to the simple faith that God is. Praise God. God is. God is what you need. God is what, that's not right, but God is. God is what I need. God is what, God are what you need, I guess. I don't know exactly what it says. Praise God. God is. My English may not be good, but my Spanish is excellent. Praise God. No, it's not. Praise. I believe that God is. God is exactly what you need. I said God is exactly what you need. God is your healer. God is your helper. God is your encourager. God is your marriage fixer. God is your problem solver. God is the dead man raiser. God is the resurrection. God is the truth. God is whatever you need Him to be. Something I have learned, and I learned this in Nigeria, I learned this in Africa from Brother Shabanki. They often pray, and I'm sure I've heard it here too, but I never paid attention to it. They often pray when they're praying for somebody, God, You are the Creator, God. You've heard them in Africa pray that. You probably pray that way here. God, You are the Creator. And if they need new blood, You can create it. If they need a new kidney, create a new kidney. I mean, they pray with such simple faith. God is the Creator. And so I have started praying that way oftentimes when I pray for somebody. I just say to God, God, You made this body. You made those bones. You knit all that together. If they need new muscles, You are the Creator. If they need new organs, You are the Creator. If they need new cells, You are the Creator. If they need new blood, God is. One of my dearest friends, Brother Mike Metzger in Western Montana. Brother Mike was a missionary to Sierra Leone for several years. And when that country was embroiled in revolution, they came home and he went to Western Montana to Pioneer Church 17, 18 years ago. They've been out there and I love going to preach for Brother Metzger. We'll be going there later this year. And we've had the tent, the trailer, all of it out there a couple of years ago. And just love preaching for them. And Brother Metzger's family is precious. Their oldest daughter, their four oldest children were born while they were in Africa. And their oldest daughter, Rachel, is Down syndrome. And she is precious. She'll testify every night. And if your name makes it in her testimony, you've made it. And she'll say, Odie, my friend. You know, and she might say, Odie, my friend, two or three times. And Odie's head's just so big, she can't hardly fit through the door. And she's just so sweet. She's the first one to respond to the altar, Sister Jarvis. And she's usually the last one to get up. And that girl, she loves God. And often they pray for her. And when Brother Metzger prays for her, he does not just pray, God protect her, God help her. He prays, and I've heard him do it numerous times, God, I still believe that you can heal my daughter. She is 27 years old, but God, you are... I felt some of y'all cool off on me there. Brother David, that's Down syndrome. Nobody gets healed of Down syndrome. Why? Don't you know every chromosome in their body, every cell in their body, the chromosome count is different? Don't you know that every cell in their body would have to be changed? Don't you know that God is the creator? Praise God. I said, don't you know that God created every cell? And if God wanted to change every cell in every body here, he could do it just like that, and it would not strain him one ounce. I believe that God is. And if you come to God, if you come to God on your sinking ship, you just have to believe that God is the Savior of my soul and of my family. God is what I need. God is. I said, God is. You'll never get saved unless you believe God is. I said, you'll never get saved unless you believe God is. Young person, you'll never do anything for God unless you believe God is. Mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, you'll never be the man or woman of faith that God intended for you to be unless you believe, settle it in your heart. God is what I need. God is. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Faith is not optional. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently. Oh, let's get that word right there. Can we spend a moment on that word, diligently? He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We sing much about prayer. We testify about prayer. We talk about prayer. But oh, that our church in our day would exercise the weapon of prayer to its full potential. I dare say that the foundation of this church 1907 at least, back there, I dare say there were men and women that were known more for their prayer than they were for their preaching. I dare say there were men and women known more for their prayer than they were their people skills. And I'm not talking about just the leadership. The people in that church were known more for their prayer than they were for their singing ability. They were no more for their prayer than they were for their talent in working a crowd. Our churches were birthed in prayer. I said our churches were birthed in prayer. And I am all for us being the very best singers we can be. My girls want to practice all the time, Brother Jarvis, all the time. And I tell them, we practice 340 nights a year. Surely, that's enough for anybody, praise God. I'm all for being the very best we can be. I'm all for being the very best preachers that we can be. I'm all for employing the latest and the greatest tactics to reach people and to reach out to people. I'm all for being the very best, friendliest church in town. I'm all for us employing everything we can to reach the lost. But oh God, what we need in 2015 is to actually believe that diligently seeking God is the key to every one of our problems. I will never be known. I've waited too late. I will never be known as one of our greatest preachers. And you know, while I've come to grips with that, that's okay. I will never be known as one of our greatest singers. In fact, I received one of the most left-handed compliments the other day. I tell him, Brother and Sister Jarvis and my wife and daughter about it. I don't even know if I want to tell you. Somebody who can really sing but was sick said, I was singing in two or three different tones coming out of my mouth at one time because I was so sick. He said, I sound like Davy. He said, I mean that as a compliment. Yeah, I didn't take it that way. But I understand. I'll never be known as the greatest singer. And I've come to terms with that. And you know what? I'm not the best people person. I find myself every week being distracted by one person when another person is trying to talk to me or shaking hands. And I will go home at least one night a week and say, you know what? I never did get to that person. That person walked away finally. And you never know what that person needed to talk to you about. I'm not the best people. Maybe they needed to pour their soul out, and I just neglected them. I'm not the best people person. I don't have the best people skills, Brother Ashley. And I want to do better in that. There are things that we can do better to be more effective in ministry as the church. But oh God, I cannot afford not to be a man of prayer. The effective, fervent, effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Prayer is key for us to be what God wants us to be. Brother Davy, my ship is going down. My life is in shambles. Things are just, believe, settle in your heart that nothing but faith will please God. It's not optional. Believe that God is, and that God rewards those that diligently seek Him. I can tell you story after story after story of divine healing, of help, of times when God has come through just in time. And all of that hopefully would serve to build your faith. But you already know those stories, many of you. I could tell maybe if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, I could tell you and perhaps should tell you of time after time when God has saved people when they couldn't do anything for themselves. He reached down and pulled them in. He washed them. He cleansed them. He broke the chains. He delivered them from their vices and from their habits. And He set them free from sin by the blood of Jesus, the power of God that works unto salvation. And all those stories would do you well. But I want those stories to be real in our lives. I don't want them to just be stories. I want you to know that God will pull you up out of the sinking ship. That God will rescue you out of the angry ways, not just somebody else. Thank God for what He did for those three Hebrew children that Kelly was singing about. Thank God He met them in the fire. Thank God He saved Paul and the nearly 300 men that went into the water with him and saved them all alive. Thank God. Thank God He rescued the saints. Thank God He worked for our parents. Thank God He worked and brought us a great heritage. But I came to preach to somebody here right now at the end of March in 2015. God will do the same for you. God will do the same for you. He's the same God that He's always been. I said, He is the same God He has always been. And your ship's going down. The answer is in not throwing another bucket of water over the rail. The answer is not in rowing a little harder. The answer is not in doing certain things with a sail. The answer is believing God will keep His word. That's what faith really is. Faith is believing God keeps His promises. Faith is believing God keeps His promises. You have the promise of eternal life. You have the promise of divine favor. You have the promise of God's help Will you believe it? I said, will you believe it with me here tonight? Would you bow your heads with me? Thank you, Father. Oh, God. Oh, God, I thank you. I praise you. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for your word which has spoken to me, God. And I pray that it has spoken to somebody here in this place. Lord, I just keep coming right on back this week, God, to telling somebody you're faithful, to telling somebody you're able, to reminding somebody they can make it. God, there's got to be somebody here you're speaking to. Maybe somebody here for the first night tonight. Maybe somebody that's been here every night. But you're speaking to somebody, Lord. And on this sinking ship, in the midst of our pain, our shame, our humiliation, and our fear, God, let faith rise up in our hearts to believe you, that your word is true. You told Paul he was going to go and preach before Caesar. Therefore, he could not die in the water. He could not, God, because your word cannot fail. You promised us, Lord, you'd never leave us nor forsake us. Therefore, we cannot be lost if we want to be saved. It's impossible, God. Your power is enough to keep us if we put our hand in your hand and our faith in you. And I believe it, God. As men and women respond tonight in this altar, God, I want you to receive us. I want you to help us. There may be somebody here, Lord, that's not a Christian, or maybe away from God, maybe straying from God. Lord, they may need to come, Lord, for reassurance. They may need to come for help. God, I know you're going to receive them with open arms, because that's just the kind of God that you are. Men and women, saints, Lord, that are sick, that are afflicted, going to meet us tonight, God. Going to heal us tonight like you did last night. You healed our brother, God. You gave him relief from severe pain in his hands, God, and you helped others, and you can do the same for us tonight. And I believe God. I believe God. I believe God. On the deck of this sinking ship, you will do what you promised. In Jesus' name. And everybody can say, amen.